Genesis chapter 41, those first few words in verse 1. Genesis 41, verse 1. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. The end of 2 full years. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we pray this morning that as we think upon Joseph's sufferings again, Lord, that there would be lessons for us to wait upon the Lord. Not to rush ahead, not to lag behind, but to wait upon the Lord. So do guide us and help us, and may we see again the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour, for it's in his name we'd ask it. Amen. If you have your Bible there, look at the white space between verse 23 of chapter 40 and chapter 41. See the white space there in your Bible? Just a little bit of white space, isn't it? But that's 2 years out of the life of Joseph. That's 2 years of further disappointment. That's 2 years of being left in the prison. 2 years of monotony. 2 years of imprisonment. 2 years of disappointment. Can you imagine that when the butler was released and restored to his high position, it wasn't simply just pouring out the wine, as we pointed out. It was a high position. Remember, Nehemiah was a cupbearer too. He had the ear of the king. And I wonder, did Joseph think, oh, it'll just be a day or two now. The butler will speak for me. I've asked him. I've told him that I'm innocent. He'll have a word with the king and I'll be released. I wonder, for those first few days, every time the prison door opened, did he think, this is it. I'm going to be freed. My imprisonment is over. I'm going to be, everything's going to be made right now. I'm going to be pardoned. But day followed day, week followed week, month followed month, no release. Still in prison. Still in pain. I wonder, did he ever fear that he would never get out of prison? You know, he had faithfully resisted temptation. He had remained faithful. He had revered God. Yet he was still in prison. For many believers, and maybe even someone here this morning, you feel that you have been in a prison, maybe illness, maybe circumstances, maybe some problem in the family or some problem at work, whatever the difficulty is, not a literal prison, but a prison nonetheless. And you might say, well, Mr. Johnson, it's actually been more than 2 years. And every day after day and week, it's the same dull routine. It's that illness. I feel as if I have been forgotten. That nobody thinks upon me and I'm left. You see, Joseph's mistreatment, his remaining another 2 years, it speaks to those who know what it is to feel abandoned, to feel forsaken, to feel all alone. We sang about that in the hymns, lonely. Wives without husbands, husbands without wives, parents without their children, children without their parents, unfair treatment, people without jobs, people plagued by loneliness, unfair treatment, maybe from family, as Joseph experienced, maybe from their place of work, maybe from their neighborhood. Joseph experienced it. God's people often experience times where the day after day goes on and you feel alone. And there's Joseph, he's been slandered, he's been falsely accused, and he's there for 2 more years. 2 more years from, he asked the butler, please remember me and speak to the king. 2 more years. I've been thinking about that. Why? Why did Joseph stay in prison for another 2 years? Well, the first answer is, the butler forgot him. The butler did it. In fact, he didn't do it, what he's supposed to do. The butler forgot about him. In chapter 40, verse 14, we read it. Joseph said, but think on me when it shall be well with thee. Speak to Pharaoh for me. I'm innocent. And yet the butler forgot. For in verse 23, we're told that he forgot. How could he ever forget Joseph? When Joseph had been so kind to him, when Joseph had interpreted the dream for him when he was troubled, how could he ever forget Joseph? And yet, this man, when he reached his post again, he forgot the prison he used to be in. He forgot the person who had helped him in that prison. And he forgot the promise he had made to Joseph. He forgot all about him. He has many descendants living today, and their name isn't Butler. They have many names. Have you ever been forgotten? Have you ever been so hurt that someone forgot all about you? Now, do we not get annoyed? Just picture you're driving down the road. It's the rush hour, and some of you have to go to work during the rush hour, and now you have need of patience. You should write that verse, put it in the dashboard or up. You have need of patience on the rush hour. And there's a whole rush, and you see some, let's say, a lady there, and she's trying and trying to get out. And you stop, and you wait, and she doesn't even acknowledge or wave. Do you not feel annoyed? I think some of you feel like revving up the engine, cutting her off. No, you don't. That's judgmental. You wouldn't do that. But do we not get annoyed when someone won't even wave when you let them into your place in the car? Of course, some, it's been more severe than that. You've been in adversity. You've been in sorrow. You've gone through a trial. And it seems as if those who you expected would care haven't cared. They seem as if they've forgotten all about you. Well, think of Joseph. But then we need to think of this. How many times do we forget people? Do we take it up with ourselves? Our troubles. And we forget all about other people and their troubles and their sorrows. How much a thought do we give to others? I think we mentioned at the prayer meeting the great General William Booth, when he wasn't able to attend the convention of the Salvation Army leaders. In those days, of course, there were no mobile phones and all as we have. It was telegrams. And they asked him, would he send a message? He sent one word, others. Others. Do we think of others? But then take it further. What about the Lord Jesus Christ? Spiritually, we're often like the butler. We forget the prison of sin we were in before the Lord saved us. It's so easy to forget the person who redeemed us by his own precious blood. We forget the promises that we made to be his and to serve him and to love him. You see, we have far, far more reason to remember the Lord Jesus Christ than the butler ever had to remember Joseph. Joseph only prophesied that the butler only prophesied that Joseph would be released. Sorry, that Joseph prophesied to the butler he would be released. But the Lord Jesus Christ not only foretold that he would save, he went to Calvary and suffered and died and shed his blood. And you think of the cost that our Savior paid to redeem you and I. And yet, as Christians, we often have to bow our heads and say, we've forgotten about him. We went through a day and we never thought about the Lord. We get up in the morning, we didn't thank him for his blessings. And went through the day, never thought about our Savior. When every morning we ought to get up and thank God that his mercies are new every morning. And every night we ought to thank God that he's watched over us and preserved us. Joseph spent two more years in prison because the butler forgot him. Ah, but listen, we know that God is in control. God kept him in jail for 2 more years. We believe in a sovereign God. Things just don't happen by accident, but by providence. Almighty God chose and planned that Joseph wouldn't be released for another 2 long, weary, hard, difficult years. Joseph had to go through more trials because behind the actions of Potiphar and, of course, his brothers in selling him, but Potiphar, even behind the action of Potiphar's wife in our lies and deceit. And behind the forgetfulness of the butler is God's hand. We need to remember that. God's hand. God's hand is on the controls. There's a great missionary book, by the way, with that title, Nitrai's Mission. A man we actually met in missionary training. He was a pilot kidnapped by drug dealers. And he tells that story. If you've never read it, if you want a good missionary book, it's a great book of how he was kidnapped by the drug dealers and forced to fly the plane, and how he managed to escape with the plane and other missionaries. Not go into the story, but he entitled his book, God at the Controls. See, he was a pilot. God at the controls. And that's true for every Christian. God is in control of your life. And it was God that kept Joseph in jail for another 2 years. And the God is at the controls, whether it's 2,000 years B.C. or 2013 A.D. God is at the controls. Well, was he punishing Joseph? No, I don't think that for a moment. Had he forgotten Joseph? Of course he didn't. In fact, God kept Joseph in prison for another 2 years. You know why? Because he loved Joseph. Because he had a great plan for Joseph. Maybe you're going through a trial. And you're saying, well, why doesn't God take it away? Why doesn't God take away this illness? Why doesn't God take away this situation? I feel as if I can't go on. The Apostle Paul felt the same about the thorn in the flesh. And yet God, in his love and his grace, does not release you. Well, let's think about that in the time remaining. Why? Why did God not release Joseph from prison for another 2 years? Firstly, I think it's because God kept him there until God's timing was full. You see verse 1, look at it again. Came to pass at the end of 2 full years. The time wasn't right. You see, God does everything in his time, at the right time, in the fullness of time. Do you know in Mark 1:15, John the Baptist preached, the time is fulfilled. Kingdom of heaven is now. What about the verse over in Galatians 4, verse 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. What about 1 Timothy 2:6? Jesus Christ gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. God has a time for everything. And it wasn't God's timing for another 2 years. So although Joseph naturally wanted to get out of the prison, of course he did. Can you imagine being there slandered and in prison every day? Of course he wanted out. But God said, no, my time's not full yet. You just wait. You just wait. We need to learn that lesson. God always does everything at the exact moment. We don't understand God's timing. We don't synchronize our watches to his. Our watches keep a different time than his. And his is correct. Our watches go too slow or too fast. God's watch, God's clock is always on time. And he'll accomplish his own perfect will in his own time. There's a wonderful verse over in Isaiah 40. It was suggested in the hymn we sang earlier, the second hymn, where God said when a believer, now it's a believer, it's not an unsaved person, it's an obedient believer, someone who keeps the commandments of the Lord. And it said, when he walks in darkness, yes, even believers who are obeying the Lord can sometimes feel that it's darkness and wonder what's wrong, and yet the Lord still loves them. It's under a test, it's under a trial. And the prophet says, don't light your own fire. Just keep doing what you know is right and walking with God. Here's a verse to mark down. Hebrews 10 verse 36. Ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. That's Hebrews 10 36. Ye have need of patience. After you've obeyed. You know, we expect God just to give us the answer right then. But the writer to Hebrews says, no, just wait. You've obeyed the Lord, well, keep on obeying the Lord. Keep on trusting him. We need to remember the well-known verse in Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord. You see, as Christians, we have to wait for God's timing. Now, we don't want to lag behind. That's the other aspect of it. We don't want to lag behind when God tells us to move. But we don't want to rush ahead. We have to wait for God's timing. And that's difficult. That takes patience. And Joseph, in his suffering, learned patience. He learned what it was every day to say, no, there's another day. But I still believe in God. God will take me out in his timing. And God kept him for another 2 years. And saying, we need to learn in trials and temptations that God has a timing. And God works when his time is full. And he always works at the right time. We may wonder why he delays. Maybe we'll be crying, Lord, I don't know if I can keep going. God will work in his time. So God kept him there until God's timing was full. And then I thought of this. I believe God kept Joseph in that jail until his training was finished. His training was finished. Now, there's a sense in which in this life, God never finishes training us. We'll always need to learn. We'll always be in the school of Christ. But God brings trials into our life, situations to teach us, to train us, to show us more about himself, to learn those lessons. And the fact that God kept Joseph for another 2 years, God was preparing him. God was teaching him. God was being gracious to educate him. Remember the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt? Deuteronomy 8 verse 2 tells us that he led them a certain way to teach them. If you ever look at a map at the back of your Bible, when you come out of Egypt there, do you know how you get to Canaan? Straight up. But you know what God did? God said, go that way. And it was God that led them round the wilderness. Now, the 38 and a half years was because of their disobedience. But God led them over to Sinai first. Because they needed to be prepared. They needed to learn the holiness of God. And the omnipotence of God. They needed to get the Ten Commandments. They needed to have the plan of the tabernacle and so on. God didn't lead them. And in fact, in Deuteronomy 8, he says, no, I didn't lead you straight in because you needed to be humbled and you needed to learn to trust me so that you could face the enemies. God kept Joseph for another 2 years because the lessons that God was teaching Joseph, he needed to reinforce in Joseph's life. If Joseph had been released prematurely, he never would have had the preparation to go to the lofty heights. Remember when we did our study in 1 Timothy? Not a novice lest you be lifted up with pride. God was training this man. He had to go. If you were looking for somebody to look after all the food in Egypt, we'd send him to university to study fruit, food production, etc., etc. God's way of training Joseph was to send him to the University of Hard Knocks. God sent him to the University of Adversity. And as I said earlier, giving, making it easy for people all the time is not the wisest. Joseph had to learn. Sometimes we pray to God for blessings. And instead of what we think the blessings we ought to get, God gives us more burdens. You know why? Because God wants to send us blessings. But if he just sent us the blessing, that blessing would become a burden. So he sends us burdens so that we'll be ready to receive the blessings in his time. Can you follow what I'm saying? God knows we're not ready for it yet. So he just keeps us going through the hard times. Gives us the burdens. When we learn to cling to him and pray and trust him. And then when he does decide to bless us, we've got that humility. We're ready to accept it. God is preparing us just as he prepared Joseph. You know, it's amazing that the psalmist cried out in Psalm 119, it is good that I've been afflicted. Now, nobody likes affliction. Do you think Joseph liked getting up every day, monotonous, dull routine in the prison? No. Did he think the psalmist liked to be afflicted? No. But he looked back and he said, it is good that God afflicted me. because he taught me lessons there. I remember years ago reading the book, and he was a great man, Alexander Solzhenitsyn. He was the Russian dissident who finally was released and came to the West, but he suffered in the gulags, they're called, the communist labor camps. And in the Gulag Archipelago, you know what he writes? Bless you, prison, for having been in my life. Isn't that amazing? Because he learned lessons. And Joseph later on could say, bless you, prison, for being in my life. He did. Because in chapter 50 he says God meant it for good. Yes, even the prison time. There's a story told of a young lady who was a great singer, and in a great music theatre she was performing, and the composer of the music was said to be in the audience, and she sang beautifully. Really tremendous singer. They sang with her vocal technique was splendid, her intonation was excellent and clear, and a friend turned to the composer and said, what do you think of her? Do you think she's a great singer? And the story is the composer turned and said, well, when she has the experience of having her heart being broken by some experience in life, then she'll be a really great singer. When she has the experience of disappointment in life, the heart broken, there'll be that missing piece to her singing. How true that is spiritually. How true that is spiritually. He remained in prison. And what did he learn? He learned not to trust in men, didn't he? He learned, don't put your trust in men. Even the very best of men will disappoint us. He learned to trust in God. Now, there's a lovely verse over in Isaiah 49 that you should write beside that passage in Genesis 41. And way over in the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, it's a really tremendous chapter when you're down and you feel, has God even forgotten me? Does God even know what I'm going through? I've sought to serve him, and yet all I get is trouble, and it seems he has left me. Well, in Isaiah 49, verse 14, but Zion, that's the people of God, Isaiah chapter 49, verse 14, but Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me. My Lord hath forgotten me. Maybe we don't say it with our lips, as Zion did then, but we think it, Lord, where are you? Why have you done this to me? Why have you forsaken me, forgotten me? What does God say in verse 15? Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, yes, they may forget. And we read in the newspaper sometimes, a baby's been abandoned. A newborn baby, a baby a few days old. And some mother has just abandoned that child. Her own newborn baby. And she's put it away from her. Ah, but what does God say? Yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Isn't that wonderful? God says, oh, you may think I've forsaken you, but I haven't. I'll never forsake you. In fact, your names are engraved in my hands. I can never forget you. What a wonderful, wonderful promise. You see, in Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ lifted up his hands and they were nailed to that tree and he shed his blood. And in those hours of darkness, he was forsaken. My God, why hast thou forsaken? And that means you as a child of God will never be forsaken. Because he was forsaken. Joseph was kept in jail until God's time was full, until his training was finished. When he was able to learn the lessons that God had him learn. I believe too, because until God's testimony would be foremost. But God's testimony would be foremost. Here's what I mean by that. Suppose Joseph had been released through the efforts of the butler 2 years before. The butler could have taken the credit. Maybe people would have said, wasn't that shrewd of Joseph using the butler to put in a word with the king? Oh, I know what the butler did later on, but it's obviously God sending the dream and God reminding the butler. God waited and kept Joseph there until it seemed absolutely hopeless. For 2 years the butler hadn't remembered Joseph, but all of a sudden God stepped in. And you know the story of Joseph, and everybody reads it, said it was God that brought Joseph out. wasn't manipulated by the schemes of man. God did it. And sometimes God keeps us in situations so that he will get the glory. So that he will get the glory. I'll leave you this verse. Ephesians 1, that we should be to the praise of his glory. 1 Peter 5 and 6. Listen to this verse. 1 Peter 5 and 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you. Listen. Humble yourselves, that he may exalt you in due time. There's, we're back to the time again. Why, it's 2 more years. So that God will get all the glory. Don't rush ahead of God. That's what I'm saying. And sometimes the Lord waits. You know, you'll pray and you'll call upon him, and the Lord will wait. He'll not answer you right away. He'll not give you that desire that you pray for. He'll cause you to wait. Why? Well, let me read you to you in the book of Isaiah again, a tremendous verse. Isaiah chapter 30. Here's a tremendous verse. Listen carefully while I read it. In Isaiah 30 verse 18. Listen carefully. Isaiah 30 verse 18. And therefore will the Lord wait. You ever been there? It's difficult. You say, Lord, why don't you hurry up? Well, maybe we wouldn't say that because that sounds irreverent. But in our mind, that's what we're thinking, isn't it? What's keeping the Lord? Verse 18. Therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. That verse is saying, sometimes God waits. Let's put it into Joseph. Joseph, it's as if God was saying, you're not going to be released for another 2 years, but I'm doing this so that you'll know my grace in your life. And I'll be exalted. And if you're in a trial, and you're praying, Lord, why are you allowing this to go? God may wait so that he gets the glory. And of course, when you realize that you've been used to his glory and God's glorified through it, that'll be grace to you. God kept Joseph these 2 years. God kept Moses waiting until he was 80 years of age before the Lord used him to deliver the children of Israel. Elijah had to go through the Zarephath experience and the brook experience before God used him. One more, and I finish. I believe God kept him there so that his timing would be full, his training would be finished, his testimony, God's testimony, would be foremost. And as I thought about it, that the type would be fixed. The type would be fixed. Here's what I mean. There's no doubt Joseph is a picture of Christ. And when you read chapter 41 and verse 1 and you say to yourself, 2 more years. 2 more years of sorrow. 2 more years of suffering. 2 more years of feeling that I'm all alone. My father doesn't even know I'm alive. My brothers hated me. They wanted to kill me, but they sold me. Potiphar's wife has lied against me. People think I'm guilty of that immoral sin. Here I am in prison. The butler forgot about me. My own friend, the man I'd helped. Woe is me. Woe is me. You say, how can a man endure such suffering and yet remain faithful to God? See, Joseph was a real man of God. And you begin to think of Joseph's life and you realize how Christ-like. How Christ-like. Sometimes saying, to be like Jesus, all I ask, to be like him. Will you think of how patiently Christ suffered? Satan came and tempted him in the wilderness. Bow down and I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. No. There had to be a Calvary. There had to be suffering. Christ patiently kept the will of his Father. On the cross, the cry, come down. Short circuit the suffering. No. See, Joseph is a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we think not just of Joseph this morning, but we think of his wonderful Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we think of what he suffered. We think of how Joseph was sold, and so was Christ. We think of how Joseph, later on, of course, is brought out of the prison. We're told in Isaiah 53, Christ was brought out of the prison. We think of how the robe was taken off Joseph. We think of how the robe was stripped off our blessed Saviour. We think of how our Saviour, or how Joseph, came out of the prison to be exalted, to give bread to the starving. And we think of our Lord Jesus Christ, who after his suffering and being there in the prison of death, his body, he rose again from the dead because he is the bread of life. And today he offers the bread of himself, salvation to all who come. See, Joseph is a wonderful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we take courage, not simply from the example of Joseph, but in the midst of trial and trouble, we receive our strength from Christ. We look to him in time of trouble. And even when we're there and God hasn't taken away the difficulty, we need to pray, Lord, help me to live for you right now. Right in the situation I'm in. Maybe dull routine. We may think our work's of no consequence. We may think, well, why? Nobody thinks about me. Nobody worries about me. Why this difficult time at school or in work? Lord, help me to live for you. Because learn what Joseph learned. God is always sovereign. That God never leaves his people. Never, never forsakes. Learn what Joseph learned in those 2 years. God's grace is always sufficient to bring you through those years of trial. And you'll come through stronger. Therefore, rest and wait patiently for him. Romans 12, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation. Psalm 27, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. The Lord shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. While you're waiting for the Lord to work, wait on him. Trust him. Look to him. Wait. Don't rush ahead. But if you're not saved, don't you wait. Don't you wait. That's a different thing. We're talking to believers going through trials. But if you don't know Christ, please don't take what I've said this morning as thinking, well, I'll wait then. I'll wait for God's time to be saved. God's timing is now. God's timing is this morning. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's this morning. God's telling you to come this morning if you don't know Christ. Don't you say, I'll wait. God says, come now. Come now. Let us turn in our hymn book.